The state Senate has scheduled one more floor session next Tuesday. After they adjourn, lawmakers will shift their focus to the 2018 midterm elections. So that means we're in the final push for legislation on the state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What proposals would you like the Senate to pass, or perhaps let die for that matter? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. He's here to break down all the legislation. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get started, I want to say I had a really fun time at your live politics podcast the other night. Thanks so much for lifting the veil.
Yeah, thank you. Once we got past the nerves, it was fun for us, too.
It was so much fun to see you up there and see your nerves. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's how it feels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit weird when people are actually watching you while you're speaking into that microphone. So.
Did you learn anything what people, because they got to ask you questions and lots of good questions. Did that pique your interest as to where the politics podcast might head from here?
You know, one question I got like three times after the podcast, because we were talking about some of these bills that are going to essentially die this legislative session if the Senate and the Assembly don't come together. People said, so what happens to those bills? Like, do they carry on in perpetuity? Well, are there bills that have been in the Senate for, you know, 50 years, stuff like that? Like, it's a little detail that I felt like interesting. You know, we should cover that. So maybe we can as we talk here.
Well, Governor Walker is signing a bill today to increase revenue for low-income schools. Can you tell us what this will do?
So what it will do is if you're a frugal school district right now, it will let your school district increase property taxes without going to the voters for an okay. You won't have to go to a referendum in some of these rare cases. This is something that rural schools wanted. This is something that had broad bipartisan support in the legislature. It's something that very similar to what Walker vetoed in the last budget. But they made some tweaks to it this time around to get him on board, and he's going to sign it later today.
Was there anything holding him back specifically?
Well, I mean, the governor's brand is essentially keeping property taxes low or reducing property taxes. If you look at his priorities or stated priorities since he took office, that would always rank near the top for him. And this is something that will let property taxes in some select instances go up without going to voters first. They did put a provision in there that said that if a district had a referendum fail in the past 3 years, that they wouldn't qualify for this funding increase. And apparently that got the governor on board. But, you know, the other thing is it's a different year in 2018 than in election years, potentially, where he's run before. So he has to kind of take a gauge where the public is on issues like rural school funding.
In education, yeah. So let's look at the closing of Lincoln Hills, Copper Lake, the youth prisons. Where are we? The Assembly voted last month 95-0 to shut it down, but Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said the bill is not ready for prime time. So where is it at?
Well, I guess the blanket statement for all this stuff that we're going to talk about here is that the Assembly and the Senate have to pass the same bill. And if one of them makes changes, the other has to agree to those changes before it goes to the governor, or else the bill does not pass, period. So it doesn't matter that the Assembly passed this bill 95-0. If the Senate makes one change and the Assembly says, but we're done for the year, that bill is not going to pass. And so that's the kind of the possibility that's out there with the Lincoln Hills bill right now. What it would do is it would close the Lincoln Hills juvenile prison north of Wausau. And it would create a new juvenile correction system in Wisconsin. So less violent offenders would go to new county-run institutions that are spread around the state. It would be a regional approach so that offenders would be closer to their home communities and their families. And then more violent offenders would go to new state-run institutions. We don't know how many there would be or where they would be. Those would be decided later. But this is something that was worked on by a coalition of Democratic and Republican lawmakers in the state assembly. But in the Senate, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says, that, you know, he described the process as horrendous and has said that it's not ready for prime time, that they're willing to close the Lincoln Hills juvenile prison, but they're not willing to do this entire rewrite of the correction system in Wisconsin. So that's where things stand. And, you know, we'll see what happens next Tuesday when the Senate is scheduled to have its last floor session of the year. But if they make changes and say, we're going to whittle this down so it just closes Lincoln Hills, where there have been reports of abuse and neglect, what does that mean for the future of the bill? If the Assembly sticks to its guns, it means that bill's not going to happen in 2018.
And yes, there's also this this cloud over with federal litigation in the mix here and trying to write some of these lawsuits as well against Lincoln Hills. And so I'm sure they're looking at that as well as saying, we got to get it right this time.
Yeah, if they do nothing, the problems that we've seen reported out of Lincoln Hills could potentially persist for years, you know, because if they're done for 2018, the legislature is done for 2018, and they go to take this up again in 2019, it pushes back that date of when Lincoln Hills would close or there would be substantial changes to the way that we handle juvenile offenders in Wisconsin. There's a reason that there's a push to do it now, because if you don't do it now, it's going to be a while.
Talking right now to Sean Johnson. He's WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. He's here to break down the legislation that's circulating in the state Senate. And want to know, what proposal would you like the Senate to pass or let die? 800-642-1234. Should the Senate sign off on closing Lincoln Hills? What about a sales tax holiday in August or a $100 child tax credit? What questions do you have about any outstanding proposals? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Sean, there's also legislation designed to keep Kimberly-Clark's two Fox Valley plants open, which would affect about 600 workers. The Assembly signed off on a bill last month to give the company Foxconn-style tax credits, as they're calling it. How does the Senate feel about this idea?
We don't know for sure. We know there's some senators there that like it, especially those senators whose districts would be affected by the potential closure of plants in Neenah and Fox Crossing, which would cut 600 jobs between those two locations. But we don't know where the rest of the Senate is. And what's, I guess the question here is where conservative senators are on a proposal that a number of conservative groups have come out pretty strongly against. Because what you're talking about here is a bill that would, you know, we use the term Foxconn-style incentives. That would be tax credits of 17% on employee wages and 15% on capital expenditures. And what that means, because of all the other tax cuts that Wisconsin offers manufacturers, is that those tax credits would be essentially the state writing a check to Kimberly-Clark for, you know, those years for based on there would be a larger check based on the number of employees that the company retains. So it could be writing them a check for $8 million a year to keep these businesses in Wisconsin. There have been some conservative groups who said, don't do that. That's a bailout. This is a slippery slope. Foxconn was one thing, but if you do this for Kimberly-Clark, you know, why aren't you doing this for JCPenney, for example, or the next business? So they've been pretty publicly opposed to this. And I guess it's an outstanding question of where the Senate is, because this is something that the governor has come out and said, I want. And again, he is running for election this year. And typically a governor is going to get most of what he wants from his own party when he's running.
And what we've learned, too, is that Kimberly-Clark is just responding to market forces here, global market forces.
Yeah, I mean, they have the paper industry and, you know, the broader paper industry has been under pressure for decades. And you see that pressure, I guess, come to light in plant closures like this over time. I mean, this is not a new thing for the paper industry. So they haven't come out and said, at least to the public, yes, if you give us these tax incentives, we'll stay. Apparently, they have been meeting with the Walker administration to talk about this pretty regularly. But as far as we know, it's not a done deal that they would stay, even if the Senate were to pass these.
The Wisconsin legislature is winding down its session for the year. The Senate is scheduled one more floor session on March 20th. And when the legislature adjourns, We do not anticipate it will reconvene until January of 2019, barring some unforeseen circumstances. Sean Johnson is keeping track of all the legislation in the works. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. And getting your questions, your insights, welcome at 800-642-1234. Should the Senate sign off on closing Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls in Irma? What about a sales tax holiday in August? Are you on board with that? Or a $100 child tax credit? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. The future of several bills in the state legislature is up in the air as Republican senators plan how to proceed and prepare to wind down this legislative session for the year. You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Sean Johnson is here keeping track of it all, bringing us up to speed. He's WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter at SJohnsonWPR. What questions do you have about any outstanding bills? What legislation would you like the Senate to pass or let die? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean, the Assembly passed a bill that would give parents $100 for each child they have. It would also create a sales tax holiday the first weekend in August for purchases under $100. Both of these things would be one-time deals. Do these ideas appear to having some traction?
This seems to be the big question mark as the Senate it gets ready to wrap up here on Tuesday, because as you mentioned, the Assembly passed this bill that includes both this child tax credit and the sales tax holiday. And Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has said that the Senate does not like the sales tax holiday. They're going to take it out. They like that child tax credit, but not the sales tax holiday.
Why is that?
They have been opposed in that Republican caucus in the Senate for a while to the sales tax holiday because they say that they're not sure that it gets much bang for the buck, that people, they're not sold that that people will go out and like spend more because they got this break on the state sales tax for one weekend in August, that they're more apt to put off purchases they would have made another time until that weekend. And they also argue that it could create some headaches for retailers who have to reconfigure their computer systems to take off the state sales tax that weekend. And that it's kind of a gimmick is, a word that's been used in the past. So they don't like that sales tax holiday. They like the child tax credit, but again, the Assembly has said they're done for the year, and they have said that this is the bill, Senate. Take it or leave it. And so the
sounds
Senate
sounds like deja vu. Did you not just say that, John?
I know. It was just at the podcast event on Thursday. So, but it really is like it's a take it or leave it situation from the Assembly, where they're saying you gotta pass this child tax credit and sales tax holiday as a package because we are not coming back. And so the Senate, if they pass just the child tax credit, that means none of it becomes law because, again, both chambers have to agree and send this to the governor. And so then you would have the prospect of the governor getting none of this. And obviously he wants it. He introduced it. He's running for election this year. These checks would be sent to parents in September, a couple months before the general election. It's potentially a populist message there for the governor.
Where would the money come from?
Money would come from the state's general fund. I mean, basically the state's checking account that it pulls most of its money from income and sales taxes. And the argument from Republicans, particularly the governor who want this, is that we have a balance in that fund right now. And so we don't want to keep that money. We want to send it out to the people who sent it there.
We should also talk about possible legislative action to address school safety in Wisconsin. This comes in response to the Parkland, Florida school shooting last month. What kind of proposals do lawmakers in the Senate have in mind?
So this is the biggest question mark in all of this, because it sounds like the governor is potentially willing to call legislators back to deal with school safety. And as far as what that means to the governor, we are not completely sure. We know that Senate Republicans have said they're kind of interested in spending, and Assembly Republicans have said they want to spend more on school safety measures, like allowing them to arm security officers at schools, for example. That's kind of where they're at when you start talking about a bill to address gun violence, or to prevent gun violence in schools. We haven't seen a lot of details from Senate Republicans. We haven't seen any details from the governor so far. That's something that they've talked about. As far as what Democrats want, I mean, their list is a bit longer. Like, they want universal background checks, something that in the Marquette poll last week showed that's hugely politically popular. 81% of people support that. They want to ban, at least leadership has talked about banning the sale of assault weapons, ban the sale of bump stocks, which allow guns to rapidly fire. This was used in last year's Las Vegas shooting that killed 58 people. And Democrats want to, when it comes to school safety, they want to let schools exceed revenue limits to spend more on security. So, you know, we're talking about earlier letting schools, more frugal schools,
right,
increase spending without going to, without going to voters for a referendum. This is something that Democrats put in when they were actually running state government. They had a provision they put in that let schools spend more on school safety without going to referendum. Governor Walker actually took that out. So Democrats are saying, let's put that back.
Would school safety be the one thing you think that might bring the session, extend the session, bring lawmakers back?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of these bills, like, these ideas have been out there for a long time. These are not new. And so the question is, can they find a consensus? And there's just a lot of questions yet, because it would be the governor potentially asking them to kind of back down on this,
right,
this standoff that Assembly Republican and Senate Republican leaders have, you know, between themselves. But again, I mean, where do you find consensus on stuff like this?
Well, we've touched on a few of these big items that are up in legislative limbo, but there are actually more than 200 bills for the Senate to vote on when it comes back later this next week on Tuesday. What are a couple of the more noteworthy ones that you are keeping an eye on that we haven't touched on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty long list. You've got there's this proposal that would deregulate the rent-to-own industry in Wisconsin. That's something that's been proposed for years and years, never gone anywhere, but it passed the Assembly. You've got a plan that would restrict access to police body camera footage. That's something that's been pretty intensely debated at the Capitol, passed a while ago, and not sure what the Senate's going to do there. The governor's millennial marketing campaign, he wants to spend $6.8 million to market Wisconsin to young professionals in urban locations like Chicago. Say, come here, you'll have a shorter commute, you can ride bikes. That's still out there. And then pretty severe restrictions on what local governments could do to put, I guess, employee rights in, or to enshrine employee rights at the local level. This would say, local governments, you can't do that.
Well, in other news, Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced last week that he'll be seeking re-election this fall. What do we know about his campaign?
What we know is that he's probably going to be facing Democrat Josh Call in the general election. Josh Call's the only candidate so far who has said that he's running for Democrats, as opposed to the primary for governor, where there's a long list of names. Josh Call got in there early in the race for attorney general and is so far the only challenger. As far as Schimmel's campaign, the video that he rolled out when he formally announced that he's running again was very much, I have kept Wisconsin safe, I'm tough on crime, I'm the state's top cop, themes that you would expect to hear from a candidate for attorney general or a sitting attorney general. But he also referred to himself as an independent. And, you know, not driving home that he's a Republican, but an independent, you know, maybe a nod to the election environment that we're going to see in 2018. That's something where Democrats said, yeah, how are you independent when you have joined a number of multi-state lawsuits with other Republican attorneys general to strike down laws like the Affordable Care Act or Obama era overtime rules that never came to fruition because of these attorneys general.
Well, we'll keep watching that campaign and any others that crop up here. Sean, thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter at SJohnsonWPR.